the middle of the list. Dr. Sorensen, welcome aboard the Dan Marsh Show. I bet you've been a little busy in the last 48 hours.
I have been very busy, Dan. It gets busier all the time.
That's
I do, and I love it.
Let's talk about the situation in Iran right now. How surprised are you that the citizens are getting out and demonstrating the way they are?
I'm really not surprised. I have seen this go on initially in 2009 over a stolen revolution. The Ayatollahs took it away. We've seen it periodically. We saw it just recently over a massive increase in gasoline taxes. And now we're seeing it over the crash of the Ukrainian airliner. I argue that the cause is the same. It's about events, but it's also a deeper movement in Iran that is focusing on the power of the clerics. Many would argue that Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, in many ways, misused the fundamentals of Shia Islam to justify religious rule, because that's an anathema to the Shia tradition. The result has been corruption. The result has been a highly autocratic government that deeply restricts personal freedom. And the Iranians are not just protesting against gasoline prices or the tragedy of the Ukrainian airliner. They're protesting against the Ayatollah. And I would argue they are also protesting against the use of Iranian money to fund militias that are outside of Iran. So we have seen demonstrations against sending money to the Lebanese militia Hezbollah. We've seen demonstrations against sending money to the al-Houthi in Yemen. And that's one of the reasons why I think we have seen a sharp decline in the memorial demonstrations for the late General Soleimani, because many modern Iranians are now understanding that Soleimani was not a hero. He was simply someone who took Iran's money and used it to fund Shia militia, and that, in the end, helped to draw in the ire of the United States and the other Gulf countries. So this is much deeper than just an airline shooting or the 40% inflation rate. It's about the fundamental governance process in Iran.
I'm glad that you said that, because if you listen to the media and some other folks, they're saying it's all about an airline crash and that they're upset about that. But what it really is, as you said, is something that permeates into society, and it's just an example of what the problem is. Am I hearing you correctly?
You're exactly right. And this is why we saw the reformist president, Hassan Rouhani, elected by a 57% vote in what was actually a relatively free election in Iran. Hassan Rouhani offered to roll back the power of the clerics. He wanted to improve relations with the Arab neighbors. He wanted to improve relations with the United States and Britain and even Israel. That's why the Iranians elected him. Again, this is as much a rejection of clerical power as it was something in favor of Hassan Rouhani, who many people didn't even know. They knew he was against the power of the clerics, and that they deeply resent.
One of the things, well, actually, two things that I was really surprised is they were going and ripping down the Soleimani posters that were there from the tribute to him on that day. And that was very surprising to me. Then the second thing, and maybe you've seen it if you've been to Tehran, is that they have an American flag and an Israeli flag that are painted on the ground. And people kind of go in and just to step on it just to show their dislike of those two countries. And that the citizens were actually avoiding stepping on it. I was really surprised at those two things.
I'm not, actually, because I argue that most of the death to America, burning the American flag, trampling it, and the Israeli flag were orchestrated by the clerics. I have not been to Iran. I cannot legally go to Iran. I would love to go. But the people who go to Iran, whom I talk to, will say that, yes, Iranians don't like American policy. They don't like President Trump. They love American culture. And you can go to, again, I've find pictures that I post on my discussions with Iran. They love American rock and roll. They love American freedom. They love the sense that we can wear blue jeans, we can drink beer. There's a lot of alcohol consumption in Iran. So much.
My kind of people.
Well, there's a lot of Alcoholics Anonymous set up in most Iranian cities because alcohol consumption is actually very high. It's become a problem. They love American cars. There's a whole group of Iranians in Tehran who collect American muscle cars. They love to go drag racing. In many ways, American culture is something they are very fond of and very close to, which is, again, very much unlike many of the other countries in the region. So the criticism of the clerics is not just that they've gotten Iran in these unnecessary and costly foreign adventures. It's also that they're interfering with the freedoms that many Iranians love. We need to remember that between 1925 and 1979, the Pahlavi dynasty ruled Iran, and they privatized religion, and they encouraged personal freedom. It was an autocratic regime, but people could go to the United States. They could learn American culture. Many Iranians came to the United States and went back with a fondness for American culture and everything from rock and roll to Coca-Cola. The most popular food in Iran is the hamburger produced by what is known as the Burger Palace, for example. So that sense of affinity for America is very common. It's also the case that the Shia have an affinity with the Jewish population. And many Israelis and Iranians collaborated and worked together before the Ayatollah came to power. So they are rejecting this artificially forced, if you will, hatred of America and Israel because the population just doesn't share that hatred.
That's interesting. There's several people I got to know in Washington, D.C. that escaped from Iran, and they basically said that the Ayatollah was all about trying to regain those persecution religiously because they thought the people had gotten too far out of control that were there. Let's talk about they've moved the media out of Iran. Does that worry you as far as the IRG going in and going after these protesters?
Yes. The internal policing unit of the IRGC, the Basij, is a violent militia that is paid to keep the Ayatollahs in power. And it's not really about religious affinity. It's a job for them. And so because they control a lot of the economy, they're very concerned about anti-clerical protests. So in 2009, when almost millions of people went out on the streets in protest of a stolen election by the clerics, the Basij went in and used an awful lot of violence. We have no idea how many people were killed. But yes, I am very concerned that the Iranians are trying to minimize media coverage because of the Basij. On the other hand, I would argue that the reformist president would probably not be opposed to having media coverage because, again, it has really become a contest between the reformers and the clerics. And it is interesting that General Soleimani's death has probably empowered the reformists because now the reformists can argue that, well, he was the cause of all of our problems. He's gone now. So now it's time to start rolling back not only the internal restrictions, but it's time to start paring back on the enmity between Iran and its neighbors, and certainly Iran and the United States. I think that the reformist president and the foreign minister had a lot to do with the very limited initial response to the killing of General Soleimani.
Interesting. What is the effect on the protesters and the fact that Soleimani is gone? Do they fear less because he's gone? Is there a vacuum that's been created?
I think that's quite possible. We'll have to kind of wait and see, but it is interesting that his successor has almost said nothing. It is interesting that the Ayatollah Khamenei has said almost nothing. It is interesting to me that the president, that the foreign minister, Mossad Qassavi, who is one of the Green Movement, has actually come out and said the Ayatollah has no right to rule. The daughter of one of the other, Rafsanjani, who was another reformist, has come out and said the Ayatollahs have no right to rule. that's heresy in Iran. And that people are now coming out and saying that suggests to me that the Iranian public, by and large, again, there are differences, but the Iranian public, certainly in Tehran and other big cities, are hoping that the death of General Soleimani will ultimately bring about a decline in power of the clerics and a growth in power for the reformers. And I think in modern-day Tehran, they would actually welcome that. They want an end to the sanctions. They want better relations with their neighbors and certainly with the United States. So I think this is an opening, and I would argue that hopefully the United States is quietly trying to take advantage of it.
Tell me, how can people in Iran communicate to the outside world? Do they have the ability to do it, or is their internet too monitored, or would they have to sneak a phone out that would have the information in it?
They have gotten very clever. The well-educated ones have gotten very clever in finding loopholes because, again, Iran bans Twitter. Iran has very much limited Facebook. But, again, the clever Iranians are able to communicate through they found holes in the firewall. They have somehow managed to contact relatives, which you can still do, and they pass on information. It's getting harder and it's getting more dangerous. It's interesting that the internet authorities in Iran are much more concerned about monitoring for pornography than they are for political content. And so if you're not out searching for porn, you have a better chance of actually getting information. It is hard, and it's going to become harder. But I think also the reformers are certainly going to see what they can do to allow a little bit more coverage outside. It is interesting that there have been these media photos and videos of these large protesters.
Yeah, I'm shocked. Particularly the one where they were shooting at the people, and the lady was wounded in the leg. That was a video I saw.
Yes. So I think it's encouraging that those pictures are coming out because it means that the secular reformist authorities are trying to find ways to get around these strictures imposed by the clerics.
Dr. Sorens, I have to be respectful of your time. You only told me I could have you up to 2:15. Thank you so very much. I hope we can reschedule you as other things develop.
I'm always happy to help, and I appreciate your covering all this because it does matter to the people of Alabama and the River Region. So thank you for covering it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. David Sorensen, our Middle East expert, Air War College, always a friend to this show. Thank you again, Dr. Sorensen. Interesting.
Very interesting.
He is certainly. It's amazing how much we can cover in a very limited period of time.
It gives me a lot of hope that the very youthful population over there is continuing to push back. It won't happen overnight. I don't think there's going to be any change. And this regime has shown itself more than willing to kill people if necessary. But you can only kill so many people.
Well, two big things here. And when he referred to the 2009 issue, Barack Obama walked away from that, and what you have is Donald Trump is walking towards it. And we played that yesterday. He's doing more of the Reagan-esque type thing, encouraging them and saying that their future is in their hands and not go overthrow the government. He said, your future is in your hands. You need to take responsibility and charge of your future. I think that's a great statement to make. The Democrats have got this, and I watched one today. I didn't get to get them. I had so much other stuff I was cutting. But they're still doing this thing where we brought the country together, and it's all about a airplane crashing. And you heard Dr. Sorensen clearly say that is just an example of what makes them mad about the whole thing.
Right.
And these Democrats are just, they just don't get it. And you pick that up in some of this, we'll get to some of the clips here. The Dan Bongino on the Iran situation was on Sean Hannity. Go ahead.
And I think what's motivating a lot of this from a lot of the media, some of it I've just been mouth agape, just like, what in the world, guys? I think a large part of it is you're making Barack Obama look bad. I really think it is that. That's why you have John Kerry, Susan Rice, Ben Rhodes, all these Obama administration officials coming out and defending what they did.
Yeah, and this is not. We're about to find out from this part of the show is that there's actually some things that are not defensible here. So let's listen to Dan Bongino on Sean Hannity talking about the Iran situation.
Here now with reaction was Larry Elder, Peter Dan Bongino. You know, Dan, I don't think this is that complicated. I know we can't save every part of the world where dark and evil and regimes like this exist. I'd like to think, though, we'd stand in solidarity with the people, and watching the majority stay away from stepping on that American and Israeli flag was pretty inspiring and spoke volumes.
That was inspiring, Sean. But your analysis is right. We cannot be expected to combat evil all over the world. I mean, evil stained men's hearts since, you know, our first we became sentient beings. Having said that, if we have an opportunity, an open opportunity to minimize risk to Americans around the world, and with minimal exposure to U.S. assets at the time, we should take it. And I have to ask the Democrats, and I've asked this a couple of times, I'll ask it again. You know, seriously, I'm not kidding. What side are you on? We should turn the table on them, Sean, and we should ask them the question. You keep challenging President Trump for killing one of the world's worst terrorists. I need you to explain to me in a coherent paragraph or less, what was the benefit of keeping one of the world's number one terrorists alive? Please go ahead, Democrats. Let's explain that to the American people, what the benefit of this guy living, having a pulse was. They'll never do it. They'll run from the question.
Dan Bongino is spot on with that thing. I saw it last night. I saw it today. I think you'll see it on the debate stage tonight with the Democrats.
Yeah.
They are going to talk about this is about a plane crash. And you heard directly from Dr. Sorensen. I know of no person that knows more about this subject and watches it literally on a minute-by-minute basis. He was asked to do a briefing yesterday on Iran and the Iran situation to the Air War College. And he's doing another thing today that's more of a closed circuit type thing, which is why he had to leave it at that 1:15 time frame. So you heard him say directly from Dr. Sorensen, this isn't about a plane crash. This is about a rebellion against that type of leadership, and it creates things like the plane crash. It creates things like going in and trying to create problems in another country using the money that should be using for the people. It's about liberty.
Yes.
And I love that. News 93.1, gonna be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show. Going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
What's your biggest investment? More than likely, it's your home. So treat it that way when you hire a painting contractor. At PBS Painting, there are no gimmicks, no $99 specials. Just quality painting and someone who treats your home with the same respect that you do. At PBS Painting, we have been painting for years and look forward to many more years to come. With PBS Painting, the job gets prepped properly, whether it's cleaning, scraping, or priming. We always use quality products, which is a must for a quality paint job. So if you're looking for a painter that doesn't need upfront money and is on the job at all times, then please give me a call. Scott Bowers and PBS Painting, 294-5122. That's PBS Painting, 294-5122. Look at some of our work on Facebook at PBS Painting Montgomery.
Mr. Sandman. Okay, folks, the new year is here, and I have to close out a great selection of really nice mattresses. The factories are discontinuing many of my most popular models, and I have to liquidate much of my huge inventory fast. Serta, Jameson, Sutherland, and other floor samples in fresh inventory are reduced. Twins, twin longs, fulls, queens, and kings are in stock, as well as beds, headboards, and adjustable bases. We sell frames and all-size foundations to replace those old squeaky ones in your child's room. All my diamond mattress floor samples must be replaced so you can save hundreds. I have many one-of-a-kind king mattresses to liquidate. Serta's from $319, a Jameson latex mat for $599, thick pillow tops from $4.49 while supplies last. Mr. Sandman has been voted the area's favorite mattress store for 20 years because we have great mattresses, always discounted, and more choices in stock. We have two locations on the Atlanta Highway with different selections, so shop both sides open 10 to 6 Monday through Saturday. Mr. Sandman Mattress Superstores.
This is a Jackson Hewitt Tax Service announcement. Don't want to wait weeks for your tax refund? That's a reason to go to Jackson Hewitt Tax Service. File your taxes with Jackson Hewitt and ask a tax pro how you could get up to $3,200 fast with a no-fee refund advance. It's a 0% APR loan from MetaBank that's available before your tax refund is, so you could get money when you need it. Go to JacksonHewitt.com to learn about availability, terms, and how you could get money on a prepaid card fast, like today fast. Go to Jackson Hewitt today. That's Jackson Hewitt.
At Simple Mobile, you get the no-contract advantage. Unlimited talk and text plus 5 gigabytes of high-speed data for $30 a month. Just $30 a month on a 5G-ready network and no contract. That's our best deal ever. Learn more at simplemobile.com. Simple Mobile, out with the old, in with the simple.
Limited time offer ends 4/30/20. Standard high-speed data allotment on all redemptions thereafter. 5G-capable device and SIM required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. 1 month equals 30 days. Plus taxes and fees. See terms and conditions at simplemobile.com.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
You know, if the media would not be as complicit as they are, we would be having a very different country and situation right now. Dan Bongino was on Sean Hannity with Larry Elder. Like Larry a lot. Here they're both going to be talking and about the Dems. They just hate Trump more than they want liberty for other people. I mean, it really, what they're going to say here really, really is true.
Larry Elder, and you're more libertarian than maybe I am. I'm a registered conservative. But who are the people that are most outspoken against the way women are treated under Sharia law? In, I don't care if it's Iran or Saudi Arabia, or gays and lesbians are killed being just who they are in these countries. I thought these were liberal values. The most outspoken people in this country are conservatives like me and libertarian conservatives like you and Dan.
Right. Right. Well, you know, Sean and Dan, it's difficult to avoid the conclusion that the reason you're hearing this deafening silence is they don't want to give Donald Trump a political victory. It seems to me that Donald Trump should get credit for the way the Iranian economy is imploding. This regime might very well be on the brink of collapsing. You have thousands of people going in the streets against the law to protest this regime, and you're not hearing any support from the Democrats. Why? They don't want to give Donald Trump a victory. This would maybe change the polls.
Larry, hang on a second.
Avoid a shooting war. They don't want to give him a victory.
So they care more about hating Trump than the simple, basic, fundamental principle that we're endowed by our creator with inalienable rights. They don't want those rights. But they lecture us all the time on, you know, even the words we say, never mind the actions some of these countries use to treat their citizens.
Well, that's right. That's why Joe Lieberman came out, the former senator, and said, why can't my fellow Democrats at least give Donald Trump credit for taking out this terrorist with the blood of 600 Americans on his hands and thousands of other Americans who've been maimed by his IEDs? They couldn't even do that. It's all about hating Donald Trump and trying to win in 2020.
All right, last word, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, Sean, it's that they're actually advancing Iranian propaganda, too. I mean, we've already seen it. The whole parroting, this was an accident with the plane. The 30 Americans died in the attack when they didn't on MSNBC. And finally, that this was a revered figure.
Right.
So revered, they're ripping posters down and protesting against them in the street. Give us a break, guys, please. This is America. Get on Team America for once.
The line actually was that, everybody was saying it, that Donald Trump has done what Soleimani wanted, and that is bring Iran together and bring them against the U.S. That is not the case. I didn't get to this question with Dr. Sorensen, but European press was reporting the fact that the people getting out is that the the clerics were basically telling them they get out and they're going to reward them for that. So they showed up in the street because they wanted to eat. They wanted fuel. They wanted money. And that's what they did. They bought that crowd. That crowd does not exist today because they don't have enough money to keep it going. The crowd that exists today is organic, is happening on its own, is happening for exactly what Dr. Sorensen said. It's not about a plane crash. It's about a thirst for freedom and liberty, and that the clerics' oppression of the country. And I'm stunned when I look at this. I'm really amazed when I'm looking at European press and Israeli press. Even Al Jazeera is picking up on this thing. They're kind of saying, you know, the Iranians have kind of, it's the Pandora's box. They opened it up and they can't get things back in. And the things that they hated the most, that they really were in fear of, were all happening. And I mean, Al Jazeera basically is saying Iran didn't know what to do without Soleimani. He was such a key player that they're kind of paralyzed with what to do. Dr. Sorensen also said, we haven't heard a peep out of this guy. We played a cut where he kind of did this idle threat that we're going to carry on with the very things that Soleimani, General Soleimani, did and what he believed in. We haven't heard squat from him. Squat. There's another interesting story I did not get to on NBC News that one of the missiles, and Richard Engel did this report last night. I didn't get to it because of the game and other things. Yeah, my bad. But one of the missiles actually hit a barracks that 2 hours before had 35 military personnel in, that they were told to evacuate, and they evacuated. And one of the guys was kind of coming back to go get something, and the missile started coming down, and he got coverage underneath a truck and watched his building just be gone. That, I believe, is where the General Milley saying they intended to kill people.
Right.
I think that's where that came from. Because it really was embarrassing. It's just gone. It's like, it's just burned up. Richard Engel went over and pulled a bicycle out that was just charred. But you could see the bunk beds and that kind of stuff. If they would have hit that, and we would not have gotten the early warning, whether we got it from chatter or whether we got it from them, that would have been bad. The other thing that they're talking about is that 7 months ago, and I'm sorry I didn't get to the Pompeo clip. That game really messed me up, the show today. But 7 months ago that Trump decided to take Soleimani out if an American got killed. So they're saying, well, see, he'd been planning this for 7 months. And the key phrase here was, if an American got killed. And so they're saying, well, see what happened. It really wasn't that it was imminent. It was an American dying. Well, it can be both. This is what I don't understand. Everything is a zero-sum game tonight. It's never one. It's either one or the other. It's never one and the other. And I'm telling you, it's what Dan Bongino said and what I've been picking up from all this. The Democrats and the media have become un-American, and what they're doing is they are purveyors of untruthfulness for their own political good and for a political advantage. And Trump needs to, and the Republicans need to man up and get some testicular fortitude and stand up and start calling these people out. And when Nancy, I went back and listened to some of the stuff, the crap that Nancy Pelosi said in that George Stephanopoulos interview.
Right.
That was unbelievable. It was, after hearing some of this stuff last night in these interviews, I didn't realize how bad it was until I heard some of these people.
And then folks like John Kerry coming around saying, I'm so happy the Ayatollahs and the Iran showed restraint in the situation. So you're painting Iran as the sane ones here.
There you go. Exactly what he did. Exactly what he did. Newstalk 93.1, we're going to get to that right after this.
Dan Morris Show. Want to carry News Talk in your pocket?
download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
How would you like to drive a 2020 Infiniti QX50? Well, now you can, because Wind Creek Wetumpka is giving away not one, but two Infiniti QX50s in our Infiniti and Beyond giveaway. You can earn chances to win now. And be sure to come in for the grand prize drawings on February 1st and February 15th. The QX50 may be the nicest SUV on the road today, and you have two chances to win. So come play at Wind Creek Wetumpka and go to Infiniti and Beyond.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Nearly a month after the vote to impeach President Trump, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi plans a vote tomorrow on sending articles of impeachment to the Senate so a trial can start. The top Senate Republican, Mitch McConnell, says about calls for new witnesses at the trial.
If the existing case is weak, House Democrats should not have impeached in the first place.
Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
To decide whether the president merits acquittal or removal from office, the Senate must conduct a fair trial.
Some Republicans want the case immediately dismissed, but there does not appear to be enough support for that. The body of a 14-year-old boy missing since last month in Port Clinton, Ohio, is found in the chimney of a vacant home not far from his. Police say it appears Harley Dilly climbed in and got stuck. People looking for him spotted his glasses and jacket on the second floor of that home, having fallen through the chimney. America's listening to Fox News.
Hello, Mike here from Capital City Ace Hardware. We've been advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting for some time now, and we've seen a fantastic upturn in business because of it. The folks at Blue Water Broadcasting are so easy to work with, so give them a call. You'll be glad that you did, just like we are here at Capital City Ace Hardware.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at MontgomerySubaru.com.
Montgomery Subaru. Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. Springtime in January continues, wet at times and warmer than normal. Today and tonight, periods of showers and thunderstorms. High 76 today, low tonight mid-60s. Wednesday's high in the upper 70s, scattered showers and thunderstorms around. Maybe a couple of leftover showers on Thursday, still in the low 70s. A little break in the action perhaps on Friday before another round of showers and storms comes in on Saturday. It's like an April forecast. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Looking to save money in 2020? Shift your high-interest credit card balances to a new card from ASC and receive 0% interest for 12 months. Apply online or visit a branch today. ASC Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE. Terms and conditions apply. Equal opportunity lender.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Laura Ingraham had another interesting interview with Lee Smith, who author of a book that really has gotten into the FISA warrants and this kind of stuff, and Victor Hansen. Go ahead.
And what's interesting with Lee Smith is before he wrote this book, The Plot Against the President, he was really embedded with Nunes. Great stuff. I listened to it on audiobook. He really cut his teeth on and made a name for himself in the press in general. Really good reputation on how the Middle East operates. So Lee Smith's true expertise is how Middle Eastern governments really do operate. And he gets into the strongman aspect, the propaganda aspect. So he's somebody who knows of what he speaks.
I like that. Well, I did not get to a question about this with Dr. Sorensen. I'm going to save it when I have him for a more extended time. But Lee Smith and Victor Hansen were on with Laura Ingraham last night with an interesting part talking about they're going to be talking together on the Iran nuke deal and what was kind of going on with this thing. Remember, all of them as soon as somebody mentioned about the cash going over to them, everybody came out. Let's listen in.
You brought up the fact that the former Obama administration officials were out in force defending
the Iranians, and attacking the president. The question is why? Joining me now is Lee Smith, investigative journalist, and Victor Davis Hanson. You say there's a reason that the Obama officials seem very upset over the killing of Soleimani.
Yeah, Qasem Soleimani was in many ways the cornerstone of the nuclear agreement that they made in July 2015. The Obama administration made that deal not with the imaginary moderates, but with the hardliners, and no one was a harder man in that regime than Qasem Soleimani. He really was the cornerstone of the deal in many ways.
Victor, it is quite something, is it not, to hear this man described as some type of, you know, revered military figure, like he's just a scholar at, you know, Iran's version of the Hoover Institution, Victor. But there you have it. By any means necessary, you must resist President Trump.
Well, I think they're embarrassed, Laura, because it wasn't just appeasement, but they had an actual tapestry of a new Middle East in which Iran would balance off our traditional allies, Israel, and the moderate Gulf regimes, and we would give them cash, and they would bank it. They would get more technological information in exchange for that. They would have peace for our time, and John Kerry and Barack Obama could wave a paper and say, we've got an agreement. And what really happened was that infusion of cash and the cessation of the sanctions created a terrorist whirlwind from Iran into Lebanon, into Syria, into Yemen. And they're embarrassed about it because this plan was bankrupt. It was crazy. And I think Secretary Pompeo and Trump realize that. And yet they know that our real interests are in China, in dealing with China, and there's existential threats. So they're sort of like sheriffs backing out of this Middle East saloon and saying, this place is a mess, but we're going to have our revolvers out and restore deterrence. And that's hard to do. But this was a policy by the Obama administration. It was not accidental. And Lee's absolutely right.
That's why
they're embarrassed.
That was an interesting analogy that he used. But Lee Smith and what he said, what was the Soleimani involvement in that Iran deal? Where was he during all of this? And because every Democrat has said he's a bad guy. They started out, I'm not saying he's a good guy, I'm saying he's a bad guy. And he has American blood on his hands and all that. What if you put him at the site of the exchange of the prisoners and the money?
Interesting.
Which I think you can.
Yes.
Lee Smith has written a sidebar piece that I picked up that basically says that.
Well, and as Dr. Sorensen told us, you do have a few people like this president, Rouhani of Iran, who has had a moderate agenda, a reform agenda, but they only get to control so much. The true power is with the clerics and with the Revolutionary Guard. So the Obama administration always knew that and knew who they were actually negotiating with. That's why they're so upset.
They really are. And whenever everybody starts saying the same thing and everybody's alarmed and talking about how bad Trump is and how he's lying, you know you're getting close to something. You know you're getting close to something. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Old Navy. Old Navy, my friend, how are you today? Old Navy, you there?
Old Navy, did you mute yourself?
Old Navy, you there? Did Judy, your wife, take your phone away from you? Oh, Navy.
We're not going to argue with Judy, are
yeah,
we?
I'm
gonna...
here.
Oh, there.
Ah! She did take the phone. She must have given it back to him. What's on your mind, big guy?
Well, back in the old Navy days,
yeah?
In 74 and 75, when I was going through my A school up in Great Mistakes, Illinois, they had... We had several classes of Iranian sailors going through the Navy courses up there. And they were average Joes. I mean, they were fun. They were easy to get along with. They were very sociable. And then 4 or 5 years later in 79, I find myself sitting off the coast of Iran for 18 months during the Iranian hostage crisis.
And, a little change of leadership.
Whole different world. So, yeah. But I mean, they were as nice as can be. So.
Yeah, as I told Dr. Sorensen, I knew several people that had escaped Iran. This young guy, I was 26 at the time. He was about my age, a little younger than me. And what he was doing to make a living is he was selling roses in bars. And his dad, who was a general, was driving a cab. I mean, literally, this guy was a major military leader, and he was driving a cab to make things ends meet.
Yeah.
And we took up a donation thing for him at the bar because he would always come into the bar. He was a fixture of the bar. It was several hundred dollars. He literally started crying when we handed it to him. Literally cried.
Well, please put me in for the Swift Creek basket, please.
Now, if you won that again, what would you get this time?
They have a peach cobbler to die for.
Ah! So you're going to invite Danny Boy over to eat that with you?
Of course. if that'll get me an extra entry, sure.
I like that. Give me a month and day of birth, though, Navy. 10:30. 10:30 it is, my friend. You are in.
All right.
When do we do that drawing?
Friday,
what time?
2:30.
What's in that basket?
Anything I can fit in it.
Up to $60 worth.
Right.
Oh, Navy, thanks for calling, buddy. I appreciate your friendship.
Yep. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. 272-9228. Lee Smith and Victor Hansen, misspelled in that clip, are very interesting here. Let's continue on. Victor Hansen on Iran nuke deal. And what's the... I'm sorry? Oh, number two, I'm sorry. Lee Smith is... it's about the plane. No, it's about dissatisfaction, which is exactly what Sorensen said.
I spoke to this Iranian activist, incredible woman, Erica Kasrai, about the media reaction here, and she says they are not telling the real story. Check it out.
What I want the American people to know is that the majority of the Iranian people view Qasem Soleimani as a terrorist who has terrorized the entire region. They don't relate to the narrative that the left has.
Yeah, Lee, so it was shocking. It was shocking to see. And Pelosi spoke out about the protests that erupted on Sunday in Iran after Iran admitted it shot down that airliner, killing 176. And she said, oh, well, they're upset because of the airliner.
Right.
That's all it is the airliner. They were fine before the airliner.
Well, it's worthwhile keeping in mind when you're looking at Democratic officials like Speaker Pelosi and when you're looking at the press, including the most prestigious brands in the media, that these constituted the Iran deal echo chamber that helped sell Obama's deal with Iran. So they have a lot at stake in protecting Obama's foreign policy legacy.
That's spot on. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Red Top. Red Top, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Good afternoon, and Dr. Sorensen was awesome as usual. He very much brought to light what we were discussing yesterday. And what I was trying to tell the guys this morning is they have added the news from Paris at 5 o'clock on NPR. It's called Paris 2020. And all three of the European news agencies were reporting this a lot. And they were bringing up how unhappy the Iranian people were with the regime. They weren't talking about just the airplane. So it is being reported, like you say, in other parts of the world correctly. Unfortunately, we have such a biased media here, which is more biased than the European media. That's hard to believe.
Well, let me tell you something. And it's very disheartening, Red Tide, because they are not only biased, but this is moving into a whole new direction. They are not telling the truth. And we as a country are suffering. If they were sitting there and talking about the people in Iran are actually seeking liberty and they're trying to rebel against the tyranny of the clerics, that would be a great story. And America would get behind it, but they're not telling that story.
Yeah, Yeah. And it's it is political sabotage they're trying to accomplish. I don't know what other way to do it, to talk about it, but it is sabotage of our political system for them to all get together, collude, and get a agenda and put it forward that is against what America is all about. So it's a very much a turning point. I hope the people, Joey, how are the millennials and the people in the 30s doing with the news and the Facebook and all that? I can't find anybody who wants to talk to me about the political, the presidential election yet.
Well, unfortunately, Red Top, I haven't paid my dues this month to the millennial fund.
Yeah, I just say,
plus, I hang out with people 60 and up all day anyway. So I'm the wrong guy to ask.
Yeah, that you have a good point there. And you're really not part of the group anymore. So do you think the younger folks, 18 and up, are paying attention to social media news more than anything? And how do you feel they are being swayed? Do you have any
idea?
It
depends on the person, really, to the person. Some people don't give a damn about news at all. They might see something flash across social media, if at all. But some folks are just going direct. I mean, obviously, you have websites like Reddit. Some people are pretty creative, and they aggregate their own news. To the average person, I think most people aren't paying attention at all. And so it has to be really big for them to even hear about it.
Right, yeah, okay. And I understand at our age, Dan and I, we're a lot more politically involved than other people because of our background, where we came from, the Vietnam War.
Eh?
How about Bob Barr kicking out the Saudis?
Oh, yeah, we're going to get to that in a second. We're going to have the first report I've heard from Catherine Harris since she has moved to CBS.
Shown up. You saw it this morning, didn't you?
I did.
It was very good. I was glad to see her, and they needed somebody like her. And thank goodness for Bob Barr checking into this stuff. And I think they're going to nip this stuff in the bud.
Bill Barr. William Barr.
Bill Barr. Excuse me. I painted a commercial store for his campaign manager in Billerica, Georgia, when he was there doing the impeachment. Yes, and he was a dummy to impeach Bill Clinton. I knew he was not going to win. Bill Clinton is still the best lawyer in the country because he beat a whole Congress full of them.
You have a great day, my friend.
Thank you.
Papa B, going to a break. Coming back to you right after this.
Going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Tired of my voice yet? It's Tiffany Coleman. My husband is Jeff Coleman, who's running for Congress. Jeff's in the moving van business, Coleman Worldwide. He's the fourth generation to run it, since his grandfather was helping people move in a horse and wagon. He started working for him when he was 10. Says he could only lift a lampshade. For a few summers, he worked with a man he just loved called Baby Cakes. Now, Baby Cakes couldn't read much, so he did the driving and the heavy lifting while Jeff was the navigator. Then came college and the best part of his life. He met me. I'll tell you about that the next time we talk.
I'm Jeff Coleman, the conservative businessman candidate for U.S. Congress, and I approve this message. Paid for by Jeff Coleman for Congress.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV. The Dan Morris Show.
Two 7-2-9-2-2-8. That's where we are.
No matter what you do, I will always be around.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to our good friend Papa B. Papa B, how are you?
Hey, Dan. Hey, Joey. Doing great. Wet, but it's great, you know. So, anyway.
So, can you, wait, so can you night. Can you appraise wet houses also?
I can appraise them wet.
That's good. I like that.
Wet or dry, either way. Well, I've said this before to you, and I guess it's fine saying it again, but in a former life of mine, I was a outdoor salesman. And actually did pretty good. And had a sales manager that when it rained and I didn't want to go out, he would say, ducks make bucks. And what he meant by that was, if you're willing to go out there in the rain, you're probably going to be the only one. And so you got a better opportunity to make money.
There you go.
Anyway, rain never has bothered me. Never stopped me from making money.
What's on your mind today?
Well, I just like to say I really enjoyed that game last night. And you got to love that LSU coach. I'm telling you, he's unintelligible when it comes to his tongue. He sounds like that coach on the Water Boy to me.
I know, exactly. That's what I said. I mean, he is a character of himself.
He's a caricature of himself. That's right in here. You got to understand what he's saying. You know he's trying to say something. Whatever. I mean, I love him, though. I do. He's great. He's a great guy. And you got to know that the people that my brother and I were talking about, you know, they're people that aren't from around here. I mean, both you and I know, and Joey, too, people like that. Okay.
Oh yeah.
But if you get on up into the northeastern corridor out in California, and all of a sudden you see this guy out on TV, you're like, "Where in the world is this an American person?" Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. So anyway, a lot of fun. But oh, and I will say one other thing. Dr. Ken, whom I have the deepest respect for, as you know, kind of took me to task on my theory of Auburn not playing well in the bowl game due to players holding back. And I would say that may be true. I don't know. I was just throwing it out there as, you know, something that might be the reason. But one way or the other, the Auburn team that took the field in the bowl game was not the same one that beat Oregon, not the same team that took both Florida and LSU down to the wire, and certainly not the team that beat Alabama. I don't know what happened in the Auburn bowl game, but they were different, Dan, don't you think?
Yeah, it was not. It was not the Auburn of Jordan-Hare Stadium.
No. So anyway, about this business with General Calamari.
Yep. Soleimani.
Calamari?
That's an octopus. Squid. Come on. Soleimani.
Calamari, man.
Soleimani.
Anyway, he has a tentacle. Okay, Soleimani. So anyway, what this action has done, more and as just about all the actions of President Trump, is it has really highlighted two basic groups, maybe three actually, that are in this country. And one of them is the Democrats and their hatred, their visceral hatred of Donald Trump.
Yep.
It has really shined the light onto that part of the Democrat Party. And in such a way that I think the second group, the ones I would say were more measured, want to try to be moderate or whatever, that the moderates cannot ignore how hateful Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, the rest of them are toward, and for no good reason. So what do you think that that's actually a dynamic political, speaking in a political sense, that dynamic is actually a positive for Trump?
Yeah, I think. Let me tell you what I think is happening. I think they're so used to listening to their own BS that they just do it. I mean, I played the Christine Pelosi, the daughter of Nancy Pelosi. All she was doing is parodying her mom in Democrat talking points. And that told me that that's all it is that's out there. And people, it is, they're getting tired of the crap saying that, you know, it was about an airplane crash, not about unrest of people. Here, people are, they're going to go out and start killing people, and the Democrats are going, oh, they're just demonstrating about an airplane. No, they're not. They really aren't. They're not worried about the airplane crashing. They're worried about the direction of their country. And these guys are willing to sell them down the river for that.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, what else is kind of apparent to me, and I guess it might be to anybody, but it's not just Trump. Okay, Trump is getting the brunt of their, you know, hatred.
It's you and me.
But it's against the half of the country that voted for Trump. That's who they really have it out for, have the long knives out for.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's Trump, but I think that people that have such hatred, they've been trying to destroy the part of the country that voted for Trump, even though the part of the country that voted for Trump does not have those same, that same hatred toward them.
No.
I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I don't have that kind of hatred in my heart toward Nancy Pelosi. If she wants to be a freak, well, go ahead. Just leave me out of your freakish, you know?
Well,
But they can't stand it. They have to destroy me, Papa B.
They don't want any success for Trump. So, therefore, anything that Trump is for that's succeeding, they are against. So, when the Iranian people are demonstrating, it's not because of economic pressures and the clerics being taking money and sending it to Iraq, like Dr. Sorensen said, and spending money on terrorism versus in the country. It's about an airplane crash. No, it's not. And these people are just, it's amazing that they're going to let these people die because they're not willing to do anything. Kevin McCarthy is doing a piece of legislation in the House talking about supporting these protesters. It's going to be interesting to see what the vote's going to be on this thing.
Well, they wouldn't support this. What did they say about the Hong Kong protesters, Dan? Did they support? Did they actually come out in support of the Hong Kong
protesters? They really did. They really did not. They really did not.
So, I don't know. But anyway, interesting times we live in, gentlemen. Thank you for the show, and thank you for taking my call.
You are so very welcome. Thanks for calling. Go appraise a wet house.
I'll do it.
I got to go to a break. Guys, hang on for me. I want to come back to you, George, Tommy. After a top of the hour break for the final hour of the Dan Morris Show.